Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the OG UK podcast. I'm Emmanuel, and on this show, we'll get into the mind and capture the heart of passionate artists, songwriters, and worship leaders. Here we'll get to understand their musical creativity as they break down their songs and use their gifts to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and influence their generation through music. Okay, so I've got a little confession to make. When I first got in touch with the next guest for this show, I was quite hyped and excited to the point that when we started the interview, I forgot to press record. And so the first 5 minutes is missing, but it's okay because there is still plenty more of the interview to hear. So what you're hearing now is actually a post-edit voiceover. And so I'm just going to introduce the next guest and mention what we're talking about, and then we'll get into the interview. Okay, so on today's show, we have a man who has been and is a pillar in the UK gospel music industry, an integrity music worship leader, a recording artist, a phenomenal guitarist, a husband and father, host of the TBN UK Vox Collective. You should check it out, by the way. And that is none other than Noel Robinson. So we kicked off our conversation as we looked at gospel music in Africa and America and some of the issues that we face in the UK as an industry. So let's jump right in.
That's created in Nigeria or UK or anywhere else in the world. When it comes to black music, you don't stand a chance of there. And our problem is that it skews the way we look at our own success, that you could be successful here, but never operate in that success because you're always trying to measure yourself, right? Then there's like, you're the consumer, really. Mm-hmm. You're the consumer trying to be a producer. Mm-hmm. But you produce something, everybody goes, oh, that's okay. Because now the mentality, cultural mentality of the UK is what we do is not as good as.
As that side, over the water.
Simply because we're using them as a measuring tool. Mm. Which it's a bit like saying, okay, you're studying music and you're studying the business side of it. But if you were to put you against a student in America studying the same thing, they'd say your qualification is not enough. Mm. Even though because it wasn't studied in America.
Yeah.
So the American dream that we have has actually been one of the greatest hindrances to British gospel music.
Wow.
So when I grew up, I didn't hear gospel music till I was about 9 or 10. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I found it 9 and 10 is that my parents were Windrush parents, so to speak, from Jamaica. And so I forgot we should have started recording, shouldn't we?
Okay. That's okay. Yeah, I just started it because I think it was some good.
No, it's good. I should have started. Yeah. So my parents are Windrush parents. And I'm born in Britain, in England. So what happens is that our churches, as parents, they start to have children here like me. But we didn't want to sing what our parents sang. Like, who does?
Yeah.
Every generation does the same thing.
Yeah.
And so we found Black America. Because they look like us, they're black. The American glory story, Black America story, was told to us. There were civil rights, there was all this kind of stuff that was going on. So the American story was like, hey man, there's some black people that are like forging ahead. The music's formed out of all of that. And we saw choirs for the first time, black people in choirs singing. You know, yeah. We went, oh man, let's sing those songs. Let's identify with that sound. Wow. So we identify with the sound without having the experience. You know, one of the things I say that a sound is a response to something.
Yeah.
Sound is always a response to something. And if you want to create the sound, then find the thing that the sound is responding to. So you can make your own sound.
Yeah.
But you know, that aside, you know, I think one of my thoughts are thunder is a sound of lightning. If you hear thunder, look around for the lightning. If you see no lightning, then that thunder could be a copy of another thunder.
Wow.
Which means that it's a copy.
It's not the real thing.
It's not authentic.
Yeah.
The light, the connection, the sound connected to the light is an authentic sound. So, I mean, that's lots of stuff that I can go into. So for us, we were copying a sound. And we prided ourselves. See, one of the things about sound is that when the sound becomes the measuring bar and you become a copier, everything you do is aimed at trying to sound like the sound.
Right. Right. Right.
Musically, vocally, you're trying to riff because they riff.
That's how they sound. So everything is
just the way they sound. Yeah. You know, and trying to write songs that sound like their songs.
Right.
In actual fact, after a while, you start to dress like. Because culture is seen, heard, and felt. And when you embrace culture, it means that you felt it.
Right.
Because you can see a culture, never be a part of it. You can hear a culture and never engage with it. You can see and hear it and never engage with it. Right. But the moment you feel it, then
actually connection to it.
You begin to sound like it. The reason why you have an accent is because the culture that you exist in, seen, heard, and felt. When you felt it, your accent changed.
Yeah.
You were born into it, I take it, right?
Yeah.
So this is part of the context. So we as young black people, we identified with what they look like. We identified what they sound like, but we could never really feel what they felt.
Wow.
We could never feel where the music comes from. But there was a time when we did gravitate to the place where we started to write our own songs.
Yeah.
And then things started to shift. But there are still some of those that still embrace, well, if it doesn't sound like the Americas, then you're not really in it.
Scratch.
And there's a whole generation of people, probably millennials are not so bad, but the whole generation of people who look down on their own experience, that's what you show me, therefore you don't value your own sound. Because you don't value your own sound, nobody else values it.
Yeah.
Case in point, what's happening in Nigeria, Christian music, and their affiliations to America. On one hand, the Americans are wise because Nigeria is the only largest black nation outside of, well, in the world.
Yeah.
Over 200 million people that are all black.
Massive. Yeah.
Therefore, that is an economy, isn't it? And America black is only 15% of the whole population. Therefore, they possibly could run out of space, not space, but run out of people. So obviously by jumping on the Nigerian context, what they're doing is bringing more people into their thing. But what you don't see is the next phase of it. The next phase of it is where a Nigerian artist becomes big in black American music.
Right.
So Sinatra,
yeah,
is not. She's big in Black America now, but Black America wasn't the avenue that she took to get in there. She went through White America. Wow. White America is much more what we call welcoming. Mm-hmm. With music,
yeah,
and content than Black America is. So this is not anti-Black American conversation we're having, mm-hmm. but I'm showing you the growth of part of the UK, right. as I see it.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. What do you think then is the effect of, you know, then, of, as we've already discussed partially already, of like then the Negro spirituals and all of the Black history on within gospel music now in the UK, because much of that experience, from my understanding anyway, was now within, like you said, Black America. So how do you think then those song, those like Negro spirituals then affected the sounds of the music?
Personally, for me, and this is me personally, and I'll widen it out after I say, personally, the power of music is that music's the only thing that we got in the earth mm-hmm. and carry a man's intention, revelation, and emotion right. in one note, mm. This is regardless of the genre.
Yeah.
Know that when you hear a note or a beat, that it is a response to something that's been revealed to him.
Right.
Musicians are basically seers. So yeah. The story of the Negro spiritual is the story of slavery and the song's birth in prison.
Yeah.
And they're significant because the songs do give voice to spiritual application. Mm-hmm. So we can liken the Black American experience to a biblical experience, mm. which is what's given the Negro spirituals power to narrate its story to the believer.
Right.
You know, I was bound in chains, but you released me, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm living in a hope. Eschatology is quite a big part
right.
of the Negro spiritual. That one day we're going to be free.
Yeah.
You know? And so the issue we have is that it tells a story spiritually of all people, Black or white. Mm-hmm. But its natural application is really difficult to to hold it if you haven't been through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've never felt the whip on my back. Mm. I've never been locked up in a ship. The song of the Negro spiritual, how it impacts the world gospel, is that it's another music that has been birthed out of a story
right.
of oppression. In the same way that the South African songs that were birthed in apartheid,
yeah,
they have the same. They're songs of the soul. They're not songs that are just like, yeah, 'cause I'm a great writer.
Came from a deep place.
The cry is rooted in an experience. So how does it impact? Again, you know, this may seem strange that I say this, that, you know, the Blacks in the UK, again, we have another issue in the UK in that our Blackness is diverse. Mm-hmm. So where's your family from?
Zimbabwe.
Right, you're Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
Bulawayo, Harare, where?
Harare, yeah.
Yeah, I know it very well. So this is like, your black story, you will trace back centuries. You might have heard stories of your great-great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Mm.
Because the history of your peoples are in your land.
Yeah.
Where we may have problems is someone like me.
Mm.
So the journey of my blackness has been through slavery.
Right.
The journey of your blackness is not being through slavery.
So it's a different experience, different story.
Right. So when we start to look at the impact of the Negro spirituals, without belittling the experience, they're telling a story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a big story of something in the world that changed the world.
Right.
Slavery. But it's not everybody's story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it does impact, but on the other hand, Zimbabwe mm-hmm. has a song.
Yeah.
You know, there's probably a few hundred years ago, Zimbabwe was very much white ruled.
Yeah.
And the black people were in oppression.
Yeah.
Then actually the songs that you sang would have been seen as spiritual of the black man.
Right.
So I think that I put that in context because that's part of the reality
mm-hmm.
that I don't fully identify with slavery.
Yeah.
But I identify with the oppression of the black man
mm.
throughout history.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah.
And with the rise of racial tensions in the Western world,
mm-hmm.
we have to remember that because the Western world controls so much of the press and avenues of communications and roads that determine news.
Mm-hmm.
If they choose to use a story to highlight race or whatever it may be, that's the story you're going to hear.
Yeah.
As a young black man who's got Zimbabwean heritage.
Yeah. So it was like, you get told what your story is or what it should be.
Absolutely. Now, I love that. You get an opportunity to, if you are told a story, then you actually have the opportunity to write your own.
Mm. Yeah.
And writing your own story doesn't have to involve somebody else's story.
Yeah.
So, and what is a songwriter? So let's look at music. What is a songwriter? A songwriter is a seer.
Because
the power of song is that you're either a creator or a copier.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
I.e. because you're either going to sing covers.
Oh, you're going to sing originals.
Or you're going to sing originals. Nothing wrong with covers mm. because what covers do is give voice to your own feeling. That's part of the whole music thing.
Yeah.
I can find a song that goes, oh man, that's exactly how I feel. I'm going to sing it.
You can relate to that emotion. Or yeah. That,
yeah. Because it gives voice to that emotion.
Yeah.
That's what the power of music is. Or I can go, well, I'm going to write my own.
Mm.
His voice to me, if you're skilled that way. So, and the success of the music industry in whatever genre you look are the ones that can tell the stories
mm.
that fit your experience.
Yeah.
So in many ways, a songwriter writes songs, put them on a shelf and all of a sudden there's a fire and he pulls a song off and goes, this song's about fire, helping people fire, and he sings it, and everybody goes, wow, that's exactly what happened to me. Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That song, yeah, fire. You walk me through fire. You walk, you know, and you're like, well, yeah, you walk. I remember that time. In actual fact, much of our Christian music is like that.
Yeah.
That the songwriters of faith music are actually giving voice to your experience.
Yeah. Like, speaking on experience, and now especially in the sense of writing a story, now, the word gospel, now, I think because there can be different definitions of maybe what gospel is. I think for me, in my understanding of things anyway, gospel, whether you call it gospel music or Christian music or worship music, for me, it's all the same thing. And when I look at the Bible and look at the gospels, the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all telling the story of Jesus Christ, his life, what he came to do, his mission. And so now when I sing gospel, I'm telling that story of my faith in him, my hope in him, who God is. But often, like, well, before that, the term gospel's a code word for black music. Or, you know, yeah.
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah. So yeah, go on, if you wanted to.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So what to you then is that definition of what is to you, what is gospel? What is worship? Or is it all one and the same thing?
I mean, I tackle the now everything operates in a system.
Mm-hmm.
When everything has a system to it. Football team play a particular way. They're playing a particular system.
Right.
That's been designed for them to play. A car works according to a system. The music industry is a system. And the truth of that system is that it has to compartmentalize genres and styles. The compartmentalizing is really around genres.
Right.
So we do a bit of music and then we name it. And everything that sounds like it is there. So the nuances are quite interesting. So when we talk about classical music, we have a conversation about, is it Baroque?
Mm.
Mozart, Chopin, is it Romantic?
Mm-hmm.
Schubert, or is it classical? Right. Even though it's called classical music, those three definitions,
what type,
determine the nuances. And when you look at the music itself, there is a formula to Baroque.
Mm.
With the cadences, the sus notes, very hymn-like movements. They sound like hymns.
Mm-hmm.
There is some connection of rhythm, time, and metering that gives Baroque its...
That feel.
So in Baroque music, you'd find that particular instruments become the significant instruments.
Right.
So the clavichord and how that stuff is, yeah, anyway, I won't go into deep. Classical music now, you start to see much more orchestral, or romantic music, you start to see much more ornamentation in the music.
Right.
And out of that, you begin to hear operas and all these kind of things, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the reason why I use it as an example is that, so when we talk about gospel, you are totally correct to say that gospel music is really talking about the content.
Right.
But in a system where faith is higher, or let's say spirit is higher than music.
Mm.
Let's say spirit is higher than music. because spirit doesn't have compartments to it.
Yeah.
Therefore, when one engages, or Jesus, when one engages with Jesus, the gospel,
yeah,
anointed one, the style of music or the genre of music that you play is directly attached to your cultural experience.
Right, right.
The issue you have now is that not the mainstream, but the Christian world who controls the system, the people who control the system, the music, Christian music system.
Yeah.
Those are the record labels. Those are the publishing houses. Those are technically the white-run organizations that make up the ecology of music. And when I say ecology, you know, the songwriter writes a song, the publisher grabs a song, the record label records it, the consumer consumes it, and the money comes back, and the money goes around. There's a glue that keeps it going around. Mm. And the glue is, how do we monetize the song?
Mm. How do you profit from this? Yeah.
How do we monetize the notes? How do we monetize the beats? Yeah. So what happens now, because that's the whole part of the system, is when a system comes into place, how do we monetize this ecology? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Driving on a road is free, isn't it? Well, now how do we monetize it? Now every car's got to have road tax.
Right.
If you don't have road tax, your car can't be on the road. But it's a brand new car. Nope.
Doesn't matter.
No road tax. Doesn't matter. Every man who owns a car has to have road tax. It's actually illegal to not park your car on the road without road tax.
Yeah.
So you monetized the roads.
Wow. Yeah.
So, but what the system does, it chooses boxes.
Mm.
And unfortunately, one of the boxes that the Christian system has a problem with is this idea of this is gospel music. Mm-hmm. Because if you say this is gospel music, you and it sounds like da 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 ba, da ba, da ba, ba. And you're saying this is the chosen music to express truth.
Yeah.
What are you doing there? And somebody else goes, well, I don't know how to play that music. So does that mean that I don't have the rights to express truth, or maybe my truth is not good enough?
Yeah.
So when we talk about black, it is code word. For years, it was a code word. The code word was gospel. So when the word gospel was used, it's either used as to denote the color of a man's skin,
right,
or to denote a musical genre.
Because
most certainly, like the Negro spirituals, like the blues, gospel has its own space, but traditional gospel has its own space. And there are certain movements in gospel,
mm-hmm,
in black gospel,
yeah,
that have been canonized. So if you do those moves in the same way you do the moves in Baroque, or do the moves in, they're canonized moves that determine what genre of song is. Yeah. The problem that we have, because our faith and our belief in God is higher than the music, every Christian who writes music about God, to God, or writes what God is saying, it's gospel music.
Mm-hmm.
But the systems that be decided that CCM was white and gospel was black.
Yeah, yeah.
What does that speak?
Yeah.
And we're not talking about genres, we're talking about something that measures the color of a man's skin.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen that, because even when I was doing part of my research for this whole project, the first time I typed in gospel music on YouTube, all I saw was black faces, or there were documentaries about the black history, nothing about those of different cultures or backgrounds. It's only when I typed in contemporary Christian music or worship music, that's when I then saw, oh, white Christian artists as well. So I agree, like those categories, it's like they've already been set and defined as, okay, if you're black, you're gospel, you fit into this box. Or if you're from another background, if you're white, you then fit into another box. Yeah.
So, and a personal experience. So, you know, many years ago, I'm a musician who's a worship leader.
Yeah.
But they could never call me a worship leader
because
there were no black worship leaders.
Wow.
There was no box in the system that said, you're a black guy, especially in the UK.
Yeah.
Doing a kind of music.
Mm.
And I was going, well, I'm a worship leader because that's what I do. And they were going, well, you can't be a worship leader. You have to be a gospel artist.
Wow.
Why do I have to be a gospel artist? Because the code word for gospel
was black.
Is black.
Yeah.
So I produced I bought an album out in 2001, and it's a worship album. It's called Worthy in This Place. Yeah. The title alone tells you. All the songs are worship songs, songs that congregations sing. But they would not put it in the contemporary worship music category.
Wow.
That with Matt Redman and Tim Hughes and those guys, they put it in the black gospel.
Mm.
So my album was swallowed up in the cultural thinking of the day that America was better.
Right.
Right. So my album was underneath the pile of Fred Hammond, you know, Fred Hammond, Richard Smallwood, Kirk Franklin. That's what it was put in. Therefore, that became the measuring tool for my music.
The problem was
is that I wasn't trying to do American music.
Yeah.
I was actually just trying to do what I was influenced by, which is a part America, classical, jazz. If you listen to that album, you'll even hear a little bit of Baroque.
Yeah, because I see, like, in your music, you are very, very diverse. You sound sounds of pop and funk, jazz in there. Awesome. It's so, like, how did you then break out of those boxes and be like, you know what? I don't want to have this categorized sound. I also want to play a bit of rock as well and ballads and all of this.
Well, I just played it. I just did it.
Yeah.
But part of the journey that I've been on as an artist has been to get our people to recognize that in our blackness, we are much more diverse.
Yeah.
Than people think.
Mm.
You know, my dad loved country and western.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's his music. That's what he loved. And I'm like, yeah, dad.
Yeah.
I grew up on country and western. But the system would look at my dad and say, oh no, you're not a country and western fan.
You don't fit that.
You don't fit what it looks like.
Yeah.
So, I mean, basically what I'm saying, race plays a great deal in how we perceive gospel music.
Right.
And whether gospel music, which, you know, contemporary gospel music, they call it now, whether it has space for a Noel Robinson, who's not black American, whether it has space for Tim Godfrey, who is not black, whether it has space for a Zimbabwean artist. And the reality is, I'm not sure that it has the capacity to do that.
Right.
And because of that, then we have to take our eyes off that measuring tool.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I said I'm not anti-American, but I think for the preservation of culture and legacy,
yeah,
we have to create our own.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and in the UK where there is 65 million people, and only 3% is black.
Very small.
And what you'll find is that when Stevie comes here to tour, and he's here for three nights at the O2 or whatever, you can see how many black people go. Right. Not many.
Yeah.
There's another angle to what we do.
Yeah.
That if we're going to create music for the masses in the UK, then we're going to have to look at what the mass is eating.
Right.
Incredible picture. Another story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in India. And we go out to eat one night after playing an event. And I'll sit down in an Indian restaurant and I order what I normally order. Indian's not necessarily my favorite. I like Chinese, so I know all the different stuff in China. But I order what I normally order, and lamb biryani. Vegetable curry. But yeah, so, and I order it and it comes and I go, wow, this tastes different.
Yeah.
And the guy who's serving goes, oh, you don't like? And I said, no, I like, it's different though.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, why is this so different from England?
Hmm.
Because the KFC system.
Yeah.
KFC tastes the same
anyway.
Everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
I've been to China. I've been, you name it, I've tasted it. You know,
it tastes the same. Wow.
Right. And the guy goes, well, number one, it's the spices used in the UK are not the freshest, or they may not be the original spices.
Authentic. Well, yeah.
And I was like, wow, okay, that makes sense. And I came back to England, and before that, I asked him the question, what happened to the food in England? And he goes, oh, it has been anglicized.
Wow.
So I came back to England, that word never left me.
Yeah.
And I did a research online. That's how deep it was. They never left me.
Yeah.
And I went, what's the number one takeaway food in the UK? I thought fish and chips, because that's the traditional.
Yeah.
You know, you go around the world and you go, oh, they go, what's fish and chips? I really love fish and chips. And you kind of like, yeah. But I found out that Indian is the number one takeaway.
Wow.
How can Indian be the number one takeaway when it's created in a minority?
Hmm.
But it's anglicized.
Right.
So it can be sold.
Wow, and appeal to a larger market. Wow. Yeah.
So what happens with music, and the dilemma we have in music in the UK, is if we are going to have success, quote unquote,
yeah,
then we have to look at our audience and what our audience eats.
Right.
I got back and I went, wow, how am I going to do that? Am I going to be authentic?
Mm.
So then I had to check my authenticity.
Wow.
Because I'm dual culture.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're dual culture, you have the rights of both.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's true.
But we're told that we're not dual culture. Mm. And we're told that our culture is different.
Yeah.
Just by the way we look.
Mm-hmm.
And but when I got the revelation of that, it gave me license to use all the music that I'd learned.
Yeah.
I studied classical. Before I heard gospel, I played rock and pop.
Yeah.
And I studied jazz. And these are all music. They're all tools. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I play accordingly.
Yeah.
And having that license to do that is important.
Mm-hmm.
For gospel music in the UK to succeed, we're going to have to create our own.
Right. Our own categories, or our own definitions of what it is.
Our big problem is that the UK is more cosmopolitan than America. And the reason why I say that is this. America is made up of immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment an immigrant lands in America, mm-hmm. and he becomes a part of the culture, he's no longer where he came from.
Mm.
He embraces, I'm an American Black.
Yeah.
An American Hispanic, I'm an American. America defines them. We don't have that in the UK.
Mm.
Now you've seen the differences.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that in the UK.
Yes.
So you're still considered, even though you're born in Britain, a Zimbabwean.
Mm, even though, right, right.
Because you wouldn't say, would you say you're a British Zimbabwean? Or would you say you're a Zimbabwean born in Britain?
I say I'm a Zimbabwean born in Britain.
There you go.
Yeah.
Whereas I go, I'm a British of Caribbean ethnicity.
Okay. So it's completely different to how they would define it in America. Yeah, yeah.
So we need to come to terms with our definition of what we perceive as gospel,
right,
for it to work in an ecology. And going on to the business, we don't have that infrastructure.
Yeah, yeah.
Because all of us as Black people are put into one pot.
Mm-hmm.
And in that pot, the Zimbabweans are fighting for their voice. Mm. Nigerians are fighting for their voice. Yeah. The Ghanaians are fighting for their voice.
Yeah.
Caribbeans are fighting for their voice. And the Kenyans are fighting for their voice.
Yeah.
Every Black nation that exists here is fighting for their voice within their community.
Wow.
So the question is, can we have cohesiveness? Whereas if you went to America and you look at some of the musicians who are playing, they're from the Caribbean, they're from Africa, but they see themselves as Americans first.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Therefore, that alone allows them to embrace the heritage and the music.
Wow. Yeah.
Just some thoughts behind,
yeah,
history and how it plays out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because if we in Britain were to embrace the British sound,
mm-hmm.
well, let's look at the Beatles.
Mm.
Let's look at rock and roll.
Yeah.
Let's look at, you know, that's what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So England doesn't necessarily have a Black sound.
No.
And to create one, the diversity would be an issue.
Yeah.
Because if I created one from a Caribbean perspective, then the Zimbabweans go, that's not our music.
We don't sound like that.
Yeah. It's not our music. So that's not our music sound.
Yeah.
Mm. Nigerians go, well, that's not our music sound.
Yeah, yeah. How do you think that we can actually bridge that gap between the music and the Black and the white church, so to say? Because for you yourself, you have played in the white church. You've also played in the Black church. You played all over Switzerland, Kenya, Jerusalem, everywhere. So it's like, how have you managed then to sort of fuse that and build a bridge between the different groups or categories as they were?
I think that you know, for me, I think it's a God thing. I think it's a relational thing, and how I see what I do in light of the people that I serve.
Right. And
I'm dual culture, so I understand the language,
right,
of both, and I'm willing to meet people. You know, let's use another story. I've invited you to my house,
mm-hmm.
and you're white,
mm-hmm.
And you don't like spicy food.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd come to my house and there'd be a bowl of chicken that's spicy. And then there'd be a bowl of chicken that's pretty not spicy.
Yeah.
And I can sit and eat with you and eat chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk and you'll enjoy your chicken.
Yeah.
And I'll enjoy my chicken because we're eating chicken. It's just the spice is different on it.
Right.
The spice plays a part.
Hmm.
Culture. So how we present what we do determines so much.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So if you were standing up to do an oral examination,
yeah,
you would speak as proper English, quote unquote, yeah, as you can.
Yeah.
You would not be using Cockney rhyme or Zimbabwean, you know, things or whatever. You won't be using none of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the people you're talking to won't understand that. And most people say to me, no, well, that's not being authentic. And I'm like, going, okay. You asked the question, what job do you do? Well, I work in the city of London. Where are you from? I'm from wherever in the black world. So when you walk into work, what do you wear when you walk into work? Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to wear what? A suit and a tie, but is that authentic to your culture?
Because you're not in your original national attire. Oh, yeah.
Right. Because the rules of the office say that shirts and tie.
Mm.
When you're talking to people, do you speak with a pidgin English, colloquialism, or patois? We ask them, man, everything all right. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You know why you don't? Because you're communicating with people.
Yeah.
So does it mean that you're not authentically or ethnically black or whatever? No, it doesn't. It just means that this is how you communicate in the system.
Right.
So I'm going to show you another thing. So you're given a title because of what you do.
Mm.
So the title is, you're an accountant. You're not a black accountant. You're an accountant who happens to be black.
Right.
The measurement of what you do is not based on the color of your skin. It's based on if you got those figures right.
Right.
Unfortunately, in gospel music, it doesn't always work like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've taken that same pattern and gone, well, these are the people that I'm supposed to reach. Because mm-hmm. this is what God told me I'm meant to reach these people.
Right.
Then what am I changing about me to carry the greater message?
Yeah.
See, the greater message to the accountant who's black is not his blackness.
Mm.
It's his ability to translate those figures and reconcile them.
Yeah. To do his job.
Do his job. Mm-hmm. So my job is to bring the message of the gospel, to bring people into a place of faith, to experience the revelation of who Jesus is. What would I do? Or what would I change about me to make that possible?
Right. So it's you as the artist, you as the one who is producing the content, who ought to then adapt and adjust to meet the needs of yeah. the people.
Right. So that's one aspect of it. The other aspect is, why do you have to change?
Mm.
Well, you don't have to. Let's look at UK gospel. Most of the UK artists in this country, of the black diaspora, whether African or whatever, they are not successes.
Mm.
Household names in their country of origin.
Right.
There may be just one that I know. You'd have to help me with that. Mm-hmm. And that's Dinah Hamilton.
Mm.
She's a Ghanaian artist.
Right.
You can see from her followers and how many times she goes there,
mm-hmm.
and the concerts she puts on and all that stuff, that she's a household name
right.
in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
But in the UK, she's not a household name.
Not so much. Mm. Okay.
So we have a problem in that the dilemma, the psychology of we're doing gospel music, but we're not accepted by the Americans.
Yeah.
And we're doing Christian music or gospel music and we're not accepted by our ethnic origin.
Yeah.
And we're here in England and there's a ceiling on us.
Yeah.
And I go, create your own.
Mm. Yeah.
That is it. It's just that, just where I'm at, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Not fit. I know. I really like that. So do you think it's the same then in the sense of creating your own, also creating then a new system altogether, or is it just then in the sense of creating your own style? Well,
we are at the moment within the Christian music industry, they're trying to create systems to host everything.
Yeah.
So the GMIA, I don't know if you've heard of them. Are on the journey of trying to create systems that will help all artists. Like I said, our big dilemma is the diversity of what they would have to represent.
Right, right. Okay.
Because to the white world, Christian world, a black face is a black face.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where you're from, you're black face. Right. So you represent, because to them it's color.
Yeah.
If there was a board and the board had a Scottish man, a Welsh man, an English man on it, and they're all white, we would say that board is not ethnically diverse.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a German on it, or whatever. You would look at it and go, it's not ethnically diverse. Mm. What we're really saying is that there are no people of colour on it.
I don't see myself on that board.
Absolutely. So somehow we have to find a way to create a system that an ecology that helps UK gospel and Christian music. I don't have an answer for that, because the systems that exist now, from radio to the houses, publishing houses, to not just publishing houses, but or, you know, PRS, MCPS, all those kind of things. They're kind of content driven, which is good. But yet still we have the record industries and all these kind of companies that actually are not always driven by content.
Right.
They do see color and they do worry. So I was actually told that they're not sure if the Christian world would actually accept a black worship leader.
Wow.
So you are a black worship leader for the black church. But God has spoken to me and said, no, you're a worship leader for the whole church, black, white, wherever they're from.
Yeah.
Therefore, my mindset has been that. My mindset has been, if you call me to this whole thing, whether you're Scottish, white, Indian, whatever, then my mindset is that you're all God's people. Therefore, I'm going to change.
Reach out to you as well.
Yeah. And I'm going to reach out with same content of Christ. Yeah. But if musically I can change that, then why not?
So it also calls for skill on behalf of the artist and the musician as well. To be so well diverse enough. I can reach a...
And that's what, because of what I'm doing, you know, you couldn't call me a reggae artist, even though I've got reggae songs.
Yeah. Ah, right.
You can't call me a rock artist, even though I've got rocky songs.
Yeah.
And it's horrible being in that place in some ways.
It's like, okay, but
it's right.
Yeah.
So I can do a worship service in the House of Parliament with my acoustic guitar. But then I can do a full out main stage festival with my band.
Yeah.
And almost sing the same songs.
Yeah. That's good. Right.
So what I had to do as an artist was hear the songs. This is what the songs sound like with a full band. This is what the songs sound like with an acoustic guitar.
Diversifying yourself.
And it's the same songs.
Yeah.
So you might catch me playing the songs with my acoustic guitar and it doesn't sound gospel. It's more folky. It's more, I found my own voice. So I sing with a voice like this. I don't try to be American. mm-hmm. in that way. I do love that sound, mm-hmm. and I may do a little riff here and there because that's in me, but it's I don't measure myself against Donny McClurkin or Zeke or Fred Hammond or Israel.
Yeah.
I'm not saying none of those things impact me mm-hmm. in the same way that Matt Redman voice would impact me, or you know, and you know, he's one of my favorite artists.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt Redman. I like him.
I love his songs. Yeah. I love how he does his songs. His voice is not American, it's not Tasha Cobbs. Mm-hmm. And that because I'm never trying to measure myself against that.
Yeah.
I don't feel in any way inadequate.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
In my expression, but I validate my expression.
So that is the end of part one with Noel Robinson. And to all those of you who have tuned in, I thank you as well. Remember, you can also check out our main website at www.onegospeluk.org. And you can also follow us on social media with the same handle at onegospeluk. And if you've enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave a comment and a review. And don't forget to click that like and subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. I have been your host, Emmanuel, and I will see you next week for part two on the OG UK podcast.